This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. A lot going on, and wanted to do another check-in with one of our legislators here around Douglas County, State Senator Dallas Hurd. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Hey, thank you.
Well, I know it's been a very busy time during what, and I was just thinking about this recently as I was talking to another member of our local delegation, what totally different summer this is to be in the legislature versus a typical summer when maybe you'd have a special session, maybe you wouldn't, but you'd be out at county fairs and you'd be out interacting with folks, people that were up for re-election will be out doing things like that. And this year, we seem to have an off year.
Yeah, that's putting it very mildly, Kyle. That was actually really good. Yes, lots of sarcasm, I'm sure, in there as far as like what we're dealing with. Yeah, I mean, like it's. I mean, everybody knows it that's listening. Like this has turned into very much a hell on earth kind of year. 2020 has just been confusing, concerning, terrifying, bewildering, exhausting. It's gotten really bad, and we can't seem to trust much of anyone anymore, whether it's the press, especially at the national level, or our top executive branch elected officials, especially in this state. It's just getting really bad, Kyle, and the hypocrisy and inconsistency that is coming out of the left, and especially the extreme left. But I'm having a hard time seeing a difference between the two anymore, because the members of the Democratic Party, like Kate Brown and Ted Wheeler from Portland and whatnot, they seem to have an extraordinarily different standard for you and me here in rural Oregon, or you and me in the non-Democratic Party, whatever other party you are, you and me in the different outlook on life. We are treated completely different. We are second-class citizens. We are their peasants to be trampled. Their side, as I witnessed last week on Tuesday and Friday, of the aisle from a political standpoint up in the Portland protests, those folks are doing horrible things to each other. They're saying some really scary, horrible stuff. They're doing horrible things to law enforcement. So, I wanted to get into that today when you feel it's appropriate to kind of talk about the protests. But, yeah, this year has just gotten worse and worse and worse, and I think it's time for people to rise up against it and start saying, hey, what am I going to do to stop this November, stop this bleeding and hemorrhaging of my freedoms and rights?
So what took you up to Portland?
Well, I've always been a guy, I feel like, that's curious about the truth. You know, the truth is more important to me than feeling good about my ignorance. Now, there's been times in my life, in my late teens and my early 20s, where I thought I knew the truth, because like what teenager and 20 something year old doesn't, right? And with a lot of personal tragedy and issues that I was coming out of from my young life, I had that emotional charge where it just took the wrong people to listen to in the media, whether it was print, radio, TV, or maybe even people in within my own area here, that you get listening to really extreme, passionate personalities. And as a young person, all of a sudden you look back and you're like, whoa, I really got off track here. I need to correct this. And so I've been through a lot in my time in the legislature, from the time I started running to the 6 years that I've been actually elected in the House and the Senate. And I've just seen on so many occasions where the truth is just not being presented to the people. Most of the media, like I put on my Facebook page over the last couple of days, most of the media, especially at the large state and national level, it doesn't matter. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it does not matter who you are listening to. It is always distorted at best, completely disconnected from reality at worst. And the propaganda that is both profit-driven and political power-lust-driven is destroying our nation. And you're starting to see more and more people quitting these major news organizations, some of the most liberal, like the New York Times, MSNBC, and other folks coming out. A lot of these folks, there's two women in particular I'm thinking of right now, that have wrote some scathing open letters about why they resigned from those organizations and how truly just monstrous it is getting as far as the evil propaganda and the lies that are coming out of these news organizations. So I went to Portland with my father and my chief of staff on Tuesday last week, with the sole focus to see this for myself. Because even Fox News folks, like I know a lot of folks listening here that probably think they identify as being similar to me in political thought process and freedom and liberty and whatnot. You know, you and I probably frequent FoxNews.com or Fox News, the TV station, more so than like CNN or MSNBC. But I'm here to tell you that even Fox distorts and sensationalizes. Case in point, Sunday morning, this past Sunday, I was reading a headline at the top of Fox's newsfeed on their webpage, and it said, 150 shots fired at Portland protests. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I click on it, I read halfway down through it, and I find where it says that there was that the shots were not fired by the building, they were somewhere else in the town, and that there was yet to be any conclusive evidence that it was tied directly to the protests. Well, that's just a lie is what that is then. That's from the conservative side. All the rest of it is, you know, MSNBC, The Oregonian, OPB, all these folks, they're lying to us from the standpoint of saying there's nothing to see here. There's no violence. Any violence that happens is completely the federal police or the city of Portland's police folks, that the protesters are just sweet, nice, and wonderful. You know, it's something you can take your kids to for a picnic and whatnot and everything. And I'm here to tell you, Tuesday night was the most evil I've ever been exposed to in my entire life. And I'm in the middle of a four-part series of writing this out on my Facebook page. I'm halfway through it right now. I have never been exposed to such wickedness by a wide margin in my entire life. I saw young teens and people up into their mid-20s viciously beating each other on the ground. There was a fight every 5 to 10 minutes at times as the three of us walked through the park that's out in front of this federal courthouse. There were bonfires occasionally being lit in sporadic parts of the park. I saw women being viciously beaten by groups of people. And, you know, I've had some people on Facebook say, well, you lost me there. Why didn't you step in? Listen, unless you've been there, you have absolutely no right to make any judgments on this, because I'm here to tell you there were literally hundreds of these people engaging these extremely violent, in some cases, drug and alcohol fueled conflicts. And we were not welcome there, I'll tell you that. If any of us would have tried to intervene, number one, when you're having literally, you know, a dozen fights an hour, explain to me how I'm supposed to step in and stop any of that. That's just insanity. That's why we can't allow this kind of insanity to continue. Protests are fine. I fully support everyone. Doesn't matter who you are or how you think. I don't care how much I disagree with you. Your First Amendment rights are holy to me, and I would always defend your right to protest. I defend these folks' rights to peacefully protest, even if there's thousands of them out there and they're completely, as the governor would put it, against our local business people, defying her executive orders. But ironically, and I'm not going to call her a governor anymore because she's not, Kate Brown picks and chooses winners and losers based on who supports her and who she perceives not to. She picks she picks winners and losers when it comes to our freedoms and rights. Let me tell you, you and I are nothing more than pawns. And the sad thing is, her own people that think that she's their advocate, they're her pawns too. Because I saw kids being exposed to awful violence. I've never seen a woman hit in my entire life, ever, even by another woman. I saw multiple women viciously being punched and kicked and thrown to the ground and punched and kicked. And folks, this is the scary part. Those women got back up, dusted themselves up off after some of the people in their groups pulled people off of each other, and they went right back into the group and kept having conversations. They were all part of the same group. These were not people having conflict with each other because they were of different groups clashing. These people were all on the same side. I've never seen so much self-loathing and self-hate that is clearly from the brainwashing that community has been going through for probably a couple decades now, manifest in such ugly, horrible, self-destructive behavior. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there was nothing decent and okay in that situation I experienced. There were some people there that genuinely seemed to be trying to do the right thing. I completely disagree with what they think the right thing is, because it always came back to, apologizing for your genetics, even if you had nothing to do with 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 300 years ago. I've never seen so much self-hate. The kind of stuff that I was hearing should terrify everyone. I really, at this point, don't know what you're thinking. If you're still willing to listen to my words here and not take it seriously, I mean, for Pete's sake, go up there and look at it for yourself. Now, here's what got really weird. So Tuesday night, like I said, the ugliest, most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life. There was rampant drug use everywhere. People laying on their backs completely unconscious. I mean, it was a mixture of just marijuana everywhere to significantly harder drugs. There were about 20 barbecues in the middle of this park, weirdly enough, and somebody was paying to ship in just endless thousands of dollars worth of food, and they'd been giving it all out. And the program there was to draw in as many people as possible, obviously. And that all changed Friday when I went back. Once Kate Brown started negotiating with the feds on getting them to leave that facility there, which, bear in mind, I never saw, and I stayed till 1 a.m. until the Antifa folks and a lot of them started to disperse and go home. I never saw one federal officer. I never saw one police officer, period, the entire night. Never. Not once. But I did witness them blowing up large firework mortars out in the street right next to tons and tons of people. I witnessed them throwing garbage over the fence. I witnessed them crawling on the fence dozens at a time. I witnessed some just incredible stuff, none of which you'll hear or see in the media. A man that said he had come there from Denver, Colorado 2 weeks prior and had literally been there every waking moment for two straight weeks said that 2 days before we got there, two young African-American male teens got into a fight, and the younger of the two shot the older one. Police came, ambulance came, never written about. Still can't find it a week later after that event.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with State Senator Dallas Hurd. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. State Senator Dallas Hurd in with us talking about his time in Portland. We're also going to get to the special session and some other things along the way. But you said things were a little different by the time you were back on Friday.
Yeah, so when I came back on Friday, Kyle, it was incredible. Now, I want to go back to Tuesday briefly. Bear in mind, folks, there's probably about 10 to 12 subgroups within this whole mess. There was a lot of folks that were there to chant, the BLM message, speakers that were clearly organized, because they were, the same guy was there running the thing Tuesday night and Friday night, saying the exact same stuff on like a 20-minute loop of one-liners. That you had the Antifa, or what at least I would call the Antifa. I'm amazed at how the media and the liberals on the hard left are continuing to try to make it sound like Antifa is like some magical, non-existent ghost legend made up by people. I saw well in excess of 100 individuals at least that just I saw. This was a big area that were wearing all black with black helmets, black goggles, black masks, hockey sticks and other weapons, body armor of sorts, black pants. I mean, they're just totally blacked out. They came in chunks of, five or six at minimum, sometimes eight, sometimes 12 people at a time would come in from different corners of the park from the other streets as they congregated together in front of the federal building. It was obviously a very coordinated effort. And yet I've had people saying, well, what if it was right-wing extremists? Well, I mean, I guess you always got to consider that when people are wearing masks, but why are we not seeing confirmed cases in the very liberal press that would love to report that kind of stuff with these people across the nation that are getting arrested for destruction of our cities and whatnot? Why are we not seeing them confirmed as, you know, right-wing extremists? And furthermore, I would argue that what people consider a right-wing extremist, I would not consider right-wing. I consider them an anarchist. I consider them to be an extremist of a violent, hateful nature, and that's not something I would identify with conservatism, because conservatism is, it's a hard-line stance of you value freedom and liberty as much for your neighbor as for yourself. Well, that's pretty hard to be an extremist if that's what you truly are. So, plus, the Timber Unity rally had roughly 10,000 people at it that one day back in February this year. Not a single report of violence. Not one. Not one. So it's difficult to understand how that's much of a logical argument of who these Antifa folks are. But as you press forward to Friday, I come back with a couple different people. My dad and my chief of staff did not come this time. And I get there, and I'm kind of in shock, Kyle, because once Brown started negotiating with the feds on doing this whole supposed de-escalation thing of swapping out the federal police with the state police. By the way, folks, those people are definitely trying to burn that building down. It's just that it's made of steel and brick, and that's kind of difficult to burn down from the outside. But they are definitely trying. I saw them shoot fireworks and other explosive devices up onto the balconies of that building over and over and over. You and I would get hauled in and charged, rightfully so, for attempted arson if we did that to any public or private building. But Kate Brown and Ted Wheeler instead say these people are not doing what they're doing. And you really got to start asking yourself what's going on here. When I came back Friday, the 30 to 40 steel park benches that could hold probably four full adults per one that were sprayed out all over that park Tuesday night, Kyle, they were all gone. The 20 barbecues and all the free food and all that kind of stuff that was going on Tuesday night, it was all gone. The public open bathrooms at each end of the park that were brick, that were open Tuesday night so people could use the facilities, not to mention there were porta potties sprinkled throughout as well, especially in the middle of the park, all gone, all locked up. The entire park was completely cleaned up and completely made uninhabitable for the type of people that were drawn to that situation with the free food, the park benches, the open facilities, all that kind of stuff. They had clearly, once they started making these negotiations on a national scale, the city, and I'm assuming that Brown was involved in this, they went ahead and made the decision to clean this mess up and take the honey away so the bees would quit coming, in essence, so that they can set this agenda going forward that makes it seem like it was always the feds that were the problem. I've got several close friends that live in the Portland community. Some of them live four blocks away from this mess, who have been there multiple nights that I was not there, that said they saw people from the protest side trying to light fires up against the doors and whatnot to force the smoke and everything up into the ventilation system of not only the federal building, but the Justice Center. Bear in mind, folks, there's 300 prisoners in one of these buildings. I don't have to tell you, they're not all of one race. There's everyone from every race you can think of in that 300-person prison situation there. If there's any consistency or truth to this message of what these people claim they're about, why are they trying to kill those people in there by setting huge plumes of smoke right into the ventilation system? You got to ask yourself that. My friends said they saw the feds come out at one point to try to clear the fire away so it would quit doing what it was doing. And that's when the Antifa folks and the protesters that were there to be the agitators, of which I'll admit, not all of them were like that. But folks, I'm here to tell you, one third to half of those people in that entire situation there gave you the feeling, the distinct feeling, that they were one wrong word or one wrong action away from becoming extremely violent. And they watched those folks start hammering and beating with hard objects, those police trying to clear that fire out of the way so it wouldn't suffocate the prisoners inside the building. It's time to wake up. Now, I'm telling you all this because it's factual truth, and I got lots of pictures and lots of videos, and I'm not the only one. You just got to go look for it. If the Democrats don't get it with their big tech buddies removed off the internet, I'm here to tell you it's time to wake up and start fighting back, not with anger, not with hatred, but with our vote. We got to be organized. We got to go out and knock doors, make phone calls, and make sure that our brothers and sisters that are still somewhat logical in how they would like to see this country move forward, which I always thought freedom and liberty sounded like a pretty good deal, no matter what your past has been like. Why would you want to give away your freedom to anyone, right? But we cannot hate like they do. This hard extremist leftist movement is pure hate. It's the same kind of stuff you saw in World War II with Nazi Germany. It's just different people. It's just different players. That's the truth. Now, not everybody who is in these marches, not everybody who thinks they support the BLM movement is that kind of person. A lot of you out there that may support that kind of stuff, you're good people. But I'm here to tell you, you are buying into something that is, if you get out a history book, which I know our public schools don't like to support that anymore, not because of our teachers, but because of the hard leftists running our government, especially here in the state of Oregon, we're not teaching people accurate history anymore. Get out your history, look at what the Nazis promoted, and then get online and look up the new Louisville stuff that's going on with the BLM movement there that just got released over the last few days. Look at their demands they're putting on the free market business owners, small business people in that community, and look at what they're threatening with if they don't do all of their list of demands. They're going to forcefully shut all those people down. It's right all over the internet for you to go look at. It's their own words. Don't believe me? Look at what BLM is saying they stand for. Trust me. You have never seen anything as horrible as what I saw Tuesday night, unless you have been in some of the most brutal, awful, full-blown Middle Eastern or Vietnam War conflicts. Nothing else compares with those types of things. Trust me.
State Senator Dallas Hurd, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.